Well, thank you, Nick. Yes, and Mike. Awesome job. Thanks for pulling it off, guys. We are in week 2 of 3 of our Money Matters series, and I'm glad you could join us today. Before we jump into that, I just want to share just a few announcements. Number one, it's an exciting announcement, but it's also a challenge that I want to throw out to our congregation. The exciting news is that our children's ministry has been growing quite a bit recently in the past year or so, to the point where we need some more children's workers, and particularly in the nursery. My wife tells me there's a lot of new kids in there, and we need some more help. So if you have been around the block for, as in our church, for 6 months or more, and you would like to work with children, even to be put on the schedule once a month or even once every 2 months, that would be amazing. So please talk to my wife, Heather Mary, or even Melissa Pelche, and they'd be glad to hook you up. Before I forget, I also want to thank those who set up these decorations in the sanctuary and in the foyer and I believe downstairs. I don't know who you are. I have an idea of who you are. But thank you so much for those who have done that. If you are here and you did decorate those things, could you please stand or raise your hand or something so we can acknowledge you? And nobody's raising their hand. Okay, a few people in the back over there. A few of the ladies. Thank you so much. I read the newspaper this past week, and I saw two things I want to bring to your attention. Number one, the food bank is low. Apparently, it's the lowest it's been in 15 years. So please remember the food bank when you're going grocery shopping or whatever. Remember to consider stocking up the or contributing to the food bank in some way. And I also noticed that it was Abe Cron's 80th birthday recently. So happy birthday, Abe Cron, Mr. Abe Cron. And be sure to congratulate him in the foyer afterwards. I want to remind you that we are doing a series in January called Ask Anything. And what it basically means is you can grab this slip of paper here and you can ask any question you want about God, the Bible, religion, whatever. And I'll be sifting through these questions and I'll use these questions as the material for our Ask Anything series in January. I may not have all the right answers, but I'll do my best to find them for you. And we want to be a church that's open to whatever question you want to throw our way. So please fill one out after the service or whenever and put it in the Ask Anything box in the foyer. Well, I think that's all the opening announcements I just wanted to share before I begin. Again, we are in week 2 of 3 of our Money Matters series, and in preparation for today, it kind of felt like I was at a buffet. And there was just so much stuff that I was finding in the Bible, so much stuff I wanted to share, I couldn't get to all of it. But it was quite exciting, and I trust that something will speak to you this morning. Now, that being said, after I wrote the message, as I was reviewing it and going over it again, I realized, I have the potential to offend lots of people today, because you might actually feel, there's probably a lot of people in this congregation who probably feel that Pastor Ryan said that point or that sub-point just for me. And I'm not doing that. I just wanted to say up front, I'm not directing any point or any sub-point to any individual. That's not happening. If you feel that way, just maybe feel this might be from the Lord, not from Pastor Ryan. So let me pray. Lord, thank you for today. And thank you for your word and all that it says about money. And we just pray, Lord, as we look into your word, that you would give us some insight, Lord, as to how we're supposed to manage our money. And how that relates to how we treat others. And we just pray you would be with us for the rest of the service, Lord, and particularly in this message. We pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. I'd like to share a couple jokes. They're not as great as last week, but I'll share them anyways. First one is this. Why did God create stock analysts? And the answer is, in order to make weather forecasters look good. Next one. Who was the world's first stockbroker? Answer, Noah. He floated his stock while the world was in liquidation. That's all right. Tony gave me this one. It's not quite a joke, but it's something to think about. The number one cause of financial problems is vanity. What's vanity? Vanity is where people are spending money they don't have to buy things they don't need to impress people they don't like. People spending money they don't have to buy things they don't need to impress people they don't like. Today I have 5 points I want to share with you, similar to last week. And we're going to start with number one. Point number one for today, week two, is to borrow responsibly. Borrow responsibly. Now, last week we talked about debt, and we talked about credit card debt, and also debt with banks and things like that. But particularly when I talk about borrowing responsibly today, what I'm really trying to get at is what happens when there are loans amongst friends and family. What happens when there's loans amongst friends and family? Let me share with you a couple verses. Again, I shared this verse last week. I'm doing it again this week. Proverbs 22, verse 7. Just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower is servant to the lender. Just a negative verse about debt. Psalm 37, verse 21, particularly the first phrase. The wicked borrow and never repay, but the godly are generous givers. So both are great phrases, but the whole verse. The wicked borrow and never repay, but the godly are generous givers. Most of us would probably agree that borrowing from friends and family can be very awkward if you don't do it right. There's an American proverb that says this. Before borrowing money from a friend, decide what you need most. Before borrowing money from a friend, decide what you need most. I have a few illustrations today. Most of them are from my college days when I was poor. I had a friend in college. I was a poor college student, and my friend was a poor college student. And he was gracious enough one month. I can't remember all the details, but I couldn't pay my portion of rent for that month. It was very cheap. There was five guys in a two-bedroom apartment, so it wasn't a huge amount of money. But still, I asked my friend, hey, can you help me for my portion of month's rent until my OSAP comes in? He says, sure, no problem. He was so gracious. Well, around that time, I had decided to do something kind of nice for others, but kind of not smart at the same time. I took out 10 people for supper, which ended up costing the equivalent of what my rent was. All right? Now, I thought I was being nice. I wasn't thinking too hard about it. Things got awkward. And he was one of the guys I took out. And he's like, man, you're borrowing money off of me when you can take all these people out for supper. And actually, I didn't really have the money to take people out for supper. I just did it. But anyways, it was a bad, very bad decision on my part. That made things really awkward between in our relationship. We eventually got over it, but there was a few things that I learned from that experience. Number one, don't borrow from friends and family if you don't really, really need the money. Number two, if you are going to borrow money off a friend or a family member, don't be frivolous with your spending, especially if someone is sacrificially lending to you. That's just a dumb, dumb move. I did a dumb move, and that can be annoying if you're that kind of person. Number three, pay back people ASAP, as soon as possible. It's a sign of respect. So if you're in college and you're sharing a phone bill, which you wouldn't nowadays because you all have your own cell phones, but back in the day we shared phone plans, as soon as the bill comes in and as soon as you see it, don't go to the bathroom, don't call your mom, go get your checkbook, get your cash, pay it right away. It sounds so silly, but just pay people back, pay your share ASAP. Now, it doesn't matter how old you are. Some people live their whole life and they still don't get this principle. No matter what your age, no matter what you owe, as it depends on you, show respect and pay people back as soon as possible. Now, I'm not saying don't borrow, because borrowing, the relationship between a lender and the borrower can actually improve and be great if you do it right. There can be great feelings of appreciation between the lender and the borrower if you do it right. Now, a sub-point in this category would be to not only to borrow responsibly, but to lend responsibly. The Lord expresses his concern for the poor in Exodus 22 when he tells the Israelites not to charge interest when lending to other fellow Israelites in need. Exodus 22 verse 25 says this. If you lend money to any of my people who are in need, do not charge interest as a money lender would. So if, back in the Old Testament, if an Israelite, fellow Israelite was in need, you were supposed to lend money without interest. Furthermore, God goes a step further in Deuteronomy 15, where he says this: at the end of every seventh year, you must cancel the debts of everyone who owes you money. That's kind of a sweet deal. So if Joel was a man of means and I was not, and he lent me $10,000, and at the seventh, let's say the next year was the seventh year, if I had paid him back $2,000 and I owed him $8,000, in theory, he was supposed to, at the seventh year mark, was supposed to clear my debt and say, "Hey, Ryan, God bless you. You don't have to pay me back." That's what was supposed to happen in the Old Testament in Israelite culture. Now, the Israelites violated these laws. They didn't follow them all the time. And in the book of Nehemiah, we see that the Israelites are charging fellow Israelites, I'm told, approximately 40% interest. Now, that rate is suicidal. It's crazy. I don't even know that that's even legal in today's world in Canada. I'm not sure, but that was just a crazy amount of interest to charge. And this is what happened in Nehemiah 5. The poor people are complaining, and they say this in verse 4 of Nehemiah chapter 5. "And others said, 'We had to borrow money on our fields and vineyards to pay our taxes. We belong to the same family as those who are wealthy, and our children are just like theirs. Yet we must sell our children into slavery just to get enough money to live. We have already sold some of our daughters, and we are helpless to do anything about it. For our fields and vineyards are already mortgaged to others.'" And so the poor, they were having to sell their fields and sell their children because they were just living under this, just the crush of some high interest debt that fellow Israelites were putting on each other. So what happens? Nehemiah calls a large meeting. He calls them to account to come back to God's laws. He makes people pay back the interest that they earned off these others, and he also made them return their land. Okay, so what does this mean in our day, in our world right now? Well, number one, if you have some poor people in your life, just want to encourage you not to charge interest to those who are poor or people in your life with legitimate need. On the other hand, there are some cases where it's totally fine to charge interest. I think where there's a profit to be made by both parties, or if there's some kind of a business transaction, absolutely it's fine to charge interest. This passage in Ezekiel is an awesome passage to live by. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 5 and following. "Suppose a certain man is righteous and does what is just and right. He is a merciful creditor, not keeping the items given as security by poor debtors. He does not rob the poor, but instead gives food to the hungry and provides clothes for the needy. He grants loans without interest, stays away from injustice, is honest and fair when judging others, and faithfully obeys my decrees and regulations. Anyone who does these things is just and will surely live, says the sovereign Lord." So our first point is to borrow responsibly and lend responsibly, especially when it's someone close to you, a family or friend. Point number two, this is a very general point, but point number two is be fair. And what I have in mind when I say be fair is be fair with how you pay your employees, you're dealing with tenants, and other business relationships. Now there's a few sub-points in here, but we'll get there. Don't just look at your bottom line. Be above reproach, be generous, be fair. Proverbs 22, verse 16 says this: "A person who gets ahead by oppressing the poor or by showering gifts on the rich will end in poverty." A person who gets ahead by oppressing the poor or by showering gifts on the rich will end in poverty. Back in college, I worked for a cell phone company, American cell phone company, and it was a high-stress job, it was minimum wage, and there was an extremely high turnover rate. And now I'm not an economist, I don't have a business degree, but I figured, you know what, if you paid your employees who had been around a while a little more, you might have not have such a high turnover rate, and your huge training program would probably be cut in half. They had 4 full-time workers, probably with benefits and everything, with training 80 people consistently every single week. Because there's such a high turnover rate. Now, maybe they looked at their bottom line, and for whatever reason, their bottom line said, this is the way to do it. You know, this is the way for us to make the biggest buck. But I kind of wonder, if they just paid their employees a little more, what would have happened? People maybe would have stuck around a little longer. There would have been a high retention. I don't know. I don't really want to get into it too much. But consider, you know, are you being fair with what you're paying your employees? Be consistent. Be predictable, be professional with people's pay. Deuteronomy 24:15, this is an interesting one. You must pay them their wages, speaking of the poor, you must pay them their wages each day before sunset, because they are poor and are counting on it. If you don't, they might cry out to the Lord against you, and it would be counted against you as sin. Back in the day when I was a kid, I had a friend. Well, actually, he wasn't a friend. He was just an acquaintance, and he had a paper route. Anyone here have a paper route as a kid? Yeah? You could probably relate, understand that not all kids enjoy doing their paper route all the time. And I had a kid, a friend, who did not want to deliver his papers this one particular day. And he pleaded with me, Ryan, please deliver my papers or help me deliver my papers. And so I agreed on the terms that he would pay me 25 cents. So I helped him deliver his papers. I don't know if it was a half hour, an hour, whatever. And he never paid. I got ripped off. And, you know, it sounds kind of humorous in some ways, but, you know, that kind of thing happens even in the adult world, even in the grown-up world. Later on in college, when my wife and I were renting a house, we were just newlyweds. We were poor, and still students. And we lived in this house where it was rented out to multiple people. We had some single students in the bottom floor. My wife and I rented out the top floor. And the owner of this house, he owned lots of property, lots of real estate, drove nice cars, was a successful businessman. And now I understand that tenants and landlords, they can agree on whatever they want to agree on. But the principle is whatever you agree upon, you should stay true to. And we agreed that since this house needed to be maintained, the shoveling the driveway, cutting the grass, that I would do it. And in return, he would pay me $25 a month to maintain the property. Well, you don't have to make that agreement, but we did that agreement. So 1 month goes by, I don't get reimbursed. 2 months happen, nothing. 3 months, hey, where's the $25 a month? Oh yeah, it's coming, don't worry about it. 4 months, 5 months, it never comes. And apparently he was a Christian guy, and I'm sure he was, but he did not conduct himself in a Christ-like way. And I want to encourage you not to be that guy. Don't nickel and dime the poor. Don't be sloppy. Don't be dishonest, even in simple dealings like that. On the flip side, in the business world, don't promise something you are not going to follow through on. You might have someone who's your employer or your employee, and you are saying, hey, if the business does really well, hey, you'll get some really nice promotion or a nice raise, and you dingle something in front of them, and you know in the back of your mind, you're not going to give them a raise. You're not going to give them a promotion. Don't be that person. That's dishonest. That's deceptive. So be honest. Be fair with people. When it's time to say goodbye, every relationship must come to an end at some point, and every business relationship does come to an end at some point, but when it is time to say goodbye, be generous. Be generous. Deuteronomy 15, speaking of slaves and servants, verse 13 and following says this, "When you release a male servant, do not send him away empty-handed. Give him a generous farewell gift from your flock, your threshing floor, and your wine press. Share with him some of the bounty with which the Lord your God has blessed you. And do the same for your female servants." When I was in college, again, I had the awesome privilege in my first year of college, there was a family that had me live at their house for free. Free rent, free groceries, and words cannot express the blessing I felt that they had passed on to me. And when it was time to say goodbye at the end of the year, I was in the position where I owed them everything. But they had given me their home computer because they knew I didn't have one. And this is an extreme example of someone expressing generosity when it's time to say goodbye. Maybe you are an employee. Maybe you're an employer and you're in a situation where you're letting an employee go. Maybe your contract is coming to an end. Maybe you are moving from one rental place to another. Maybe you have a business relationship in some way, parting ways, whatever the case, be generous, be fair when it's time to say goodbye. Now, I don't know what formula you can use. There's all sorts of formulas you can use, but maybe let me phrase it in this way, and let me ask you a question. Depending on the way you said goodbye to your business relationship, after everything was said and done, would they be able to sit beside you in church? So you ended a business relationship. You did whatever you felt was fair. Would they be able to sit beside you in church on a Sunday morning? Point number three, don't be a rich fool. Don't be a rich fool. Don't walk around proud and arrogant if you have money, because in the end, the end is going to come to us all. I heard of a story of, apparently this is true. I heard of a story of some guys in the States. They were very wealthy men, and they arranged at the point that they had passed away for their bodies to be immediately frozen. And then what they did at the same time, they put $10 million into some kind of an investment account, and they expected that, you know, after 200 years, once the medical world had figured out how to unfreeze them and resuscitate them, they would be some of the richest men in the world. Come on, people. Let's be realistic. Let's not be rich fools. Now, it's good to have a little bit of money. Sure, it's good to have some savings. No problem. But don't get cuckoo. Let's not get greedy. Let's not get arrogant over the money we have. In fact, there's a parable called the parable of the rich fool. Now, Jesus shared that parable in Luke 12. He says this, he's asked the question. Then someone called from the crowd, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me." Jesus replied, "Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that?" Then he said, "Beware, guard against every kind of greed." And I love this next line, "Life is not measured by how much you own." And then he told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, what should I do? I do not have room for all my crops. Then he said, I know, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. You'll die this very night, then who will get everything you worked for? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. So don't be an arrogant fool. Pursue a rich relationship with God first and primarily over earthly wealth. And number four, will carefully. Now, I'm not in the point where I'm thinking too hard about the end of my life and willing my money off to my children and all that, although I have put some thought into it. But the truth is, the end comes to us all. And if we have any measure of wealth, we got to figure out what to do with it when the time comes for us to go. And in particular, I should say up front that yes, it is good. It's a godly thing to pass on money to your children and to your grandchildren. Proverbs 13:22 tells us that. But be careful what or how much you leave behind. And again, I have no formulas for this, but sometimes what you think could be a blessing turns out to be a hindrance. There's a couple passages here I want to read, and these are amazing passages that you can probably dwell on for a long time. And the first is from Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 18 and following. Solomon is speaking here. He said, "I came to hate all my hard work here on earth, for I must leave to others everything I have earned." So he seems to see this as a negative thing. "And who can tell whether my successors will be wise or foolish? Yet they will control everything I have gained by my skill and hard work under the sun. How meaningless. So I gave up in despair, questioning the value of all my hard work in this world. Some people work wisely with knowledge and skill, then must leave the fruit of their efforts to someone who hasn't worked for it. This too is meaningless, a great tragedy." Now notice he doesn't call this a blessing, but he calls it a tragedy. How ironic. So what do people get in this life for all their hard work and anxiety? Their days of labor are filled with pain and grief. Even at night, their minds cannot rest. I can relate sometimes to that. It's all meaningless, he says. Now, most of us would probably agree that those who earned what they have themselves generally are more responsible and have their heads on a little straighter than those who simply just inherit what they have or are given everything that they have. I love these verses in Proverbs verse 30. These are some of the most memorable verses for me. So simple, but yet so profound. Proverbs 30, verse 7 and 9. "O God, I beg two favors of you. Let me have them before I die. First, help me never to tell a lie." And then he says this. "Second, give me neither poverty." All right, he's praying not to be poor. But then he says, "Second, give me neither poverty nor riches." How many of us pray not to be rich? Probably no one. Usually we're like, "Hey God, if you just let me win the lottery, I'll give you X amount of money or whatever." Lord, bless my business. Make me successful. "Lord, give me neither poverty nor riches. Give me just enough to satisfy my needs. For if I grow rich, I may deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' And if I'm too poor, I may steal and thus insult God's holy name." Wow. That's a passage that you can meditate on for a long time. "Lord, give me neither poverty nor riches." And the last point, we're going to let Jesus have the last word. And the last point is this, don't worry. Kind of sounds like a song. Don't worry, be happy. Yeah, we should whistle that together, but no, I'll pass. What did Jesus say about money? Well, he told us not to worry about it. He said a lot of things about money, actually. But I'm going to read this passage to you. It's the last passage I have for today, Matthew 6, verse 24 and following. He says, "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. That's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, 'What'll we eat and what'll we drink? What'll we wear?' These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, as he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. You know, one verse that popped out at me in this passage recently when I read this was verse 32, which says, "These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers." And so when we worry, we're acting like unbelievers. And when I worry, you know, I don't have the mind of Christ. And verse 30 tells us why we shouldn't worry, because, well, God cares for us. God cares for us. You know, I'm told that a dense fog covering 7 blocks and 100 feet deep, a dense fog covering 7 blocks, 100 feet deep, if you were to condense that, it wouldn't quite fill a drinking glass of water. And you know, like fog, our worries can be a little scary at times, and they can be intimidating. But when you add it up, our worries have very, very little substance to them. Lots of reasons to be worried, but God tells us not to worry because God cares for you. And so I want to close by asking this question. Are you in a financial fog right now in your life? And I want to encourage you to bring it to the Lord today. Maybe you've borrowed or lent irresponsibly and you feel bad about it and you want to make things right. Bring it to the Lord and make it right. Maybe you haven't been fair in your business dealings. Bring it to the Lord. Make it right. Maybe you've put too much faith in your wealth rather than the Lord, and you haven't been humble about it. Maybe your fog is that you're struggling with what to pass on to your children. Or you might get there one day. Maybe your fog is that you're so stressed out with finances, you look more to money than you do to Jesus. Whatever your fog is today, I want to challenge you and encourage you to bring it to the Lord today in prayer. And I want to encourage you to do what you can to make right what you've done wrong. I'm going to close in a word of prayer and invite the worship team to come back. Lord, us finite human beings, we worry. I worry, Lord, and we shouldn't. And thank you, Lord, for challenging me, Lord, that when we worry like that, we act like unbelievers. And so we pray, Lord, that we will be able to put our trust in you, Lord, with our money, with our lives, with our finances. And Lord, we do pray if there's any one of us here who have wronged another financially, including myself, Lord, that we would own up to it and we would fix what we've done wrong. And pray for those who maybe are feeling a little sensitive about something that was said here this morning. Just pray that, I want to thank you, Lord, that you're gentle. Your Holy Spirit is gentle. And just pray that you would gently work with us and change us where we need to be changed, and especially in the way that we manage our money. And we just pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.